Remember, as a little boy, so he used to always ask us the question. He asked the same question, I think, in nursery, in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, every year. Same question. What happened first, Chanukah or Purim? So what was the answer always? We always answered, Chanukah happened first. Why? Of course not. Why? Because Chanukah, the year for a child, begins in September and ends in June. So Chanukah is in December, Purim's in March. So Chanukah happened, must have happened before Purim, for Shneitzach. My wife always makes fun of me that even though I'm well into my 50s, I still live my life on an academic calendar. I still think like a sixth grader, that the entire life revolves around the summer. I mean, the year ends in June, and then there's 2 months off, it's the summer. So sometimes... So she says, you know, real people who have real jobs, so they can't relate to that. Sometimes like, I'll be talking to like one of my malabas, and I'll say, so what are you doing for the summer? They look at me like, I'm crazy. Who's summer? I gotta go to work in the summer. What's the summer? Summer means I get my kids off the camp, and I go to work. So the notion of living a summer, it's one of the perks of chinuch. That's the way it is. So that's why I still go to camp. After 40 years, I'm still going to camp. That's why this summer was a very hot summer. Very, very hot summer. First time I wasn't in camp or camp setting since I was... I don't know, a long time. So as a little kid, we always said Chanukah came before Purim because December comes before March. Then you get a little bit older, you've got a little bit more ground in Jewish history, and you realize that that Purim, believe it or not, actually preceded Chanukah by a couple hundred years in terms of Jewish history. Not only did Purim precede Chanukah in terms of chronologically, but the Nisim of Purim and the Nisim of Chanukah are very much intertwined with one another. In a certain sense, the Nes of Purim has to precede the Nes of Chanukah. Because if you understand what each Nes symbolized, so that's the way Jewish history has to play out. And what I'm about to tell you really has its roots in Pashas Toldos. So Yadum Mefursam, when you read the Pesukim of Pashas Toldos, and you read all the great significance about the Bracha, Yaakov is the Fanego, the Rivka, Maisla, Reisim, Ols Chagadja to get a, literally, Pshitikoshua Chagadja has to use a Gedi to get a, it wasn't a joke, to get the Bracha. So you got to scratch your head a little bit and ask yourself, was it really worth it? What was the whole Bracha altogether? V'yitin l'cholakim, v'tal l'shemayim, you should be wealthy, you should be rich. Such a Bracha, v'yitin l'cholakim. Between you and me, most people don't consider it to be a bracha. They don't even bother staying till the end of the mayor to say it. They're out the door, they have to be named. They're already 1 foot out the door. So here, Yaakov Avinu put his whole life on the line. He almost got killed for v'yita b'cha. Like, I can't stand shul for 30 seconds. But say Shabbos. Because between you and me, it's not so important, this bracha anyway. I will survive without Tal Shemayim, without Mishmanei Oretz, without Dabra Mesirosh, Yavducha Amim, I don't need any more servants, Mishtachol Amim, Hevigil Lechecha. I'll be fine. I don't have too much dungan, I don't have too much tirosh, I don't have too much tal. I could live, I could survive. The bracha wasn't so great. You know which bracha I can't survive with? Without. Sorry. The bracha I really can't survive with is the second bracha. The Yitzchak gives Yaakov at the end of the parasha, after the whole drama is over. You know what that bracha is? Brichas Avraham. He says, V'yitin l'chaz b'chaz Avraham. L'mishchaz eitz b'gurecha, sh'nas l'kib Avraham, l'yos l'chal l'kib l'chal l'charecha. The bracha of being an Am Hashem, the bracha of having a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom, the bracha that will eventually lead to Kabbalas HaTorah, the bracha of Eretz Yisrael, the bracha of Ashuras HaShechina, that's a bracha. I think we would get people to stay in shul later on Matzei Shabbos if we switch V'yitin L'cha. First of all, the other one is shorter. We just say this couple of brachas that have run, people may actually stay in shul for that. So that's the real bracha. What was the game of Yitin L'chol HaKibit HaShemayim? What was the whole fight about? What was the whole tumult with Esav about? So you do them in Fursa. Many of the Mefarshim have the same kind of an idea in different ways. Same basic Mahalach. That the bracha that's given to Yaakov Avinu at the end of the parasha was the real bracha. That was the bracha that was supposed to happen all along. Yitzchak knew guns good. The Yaakov was going to get that bracha. He knew Esav. Esav is going to be a good truck driver. He's not going to be Birch Zavram. Esav's a good hunter. He can play ball, but he's not going to be. He's just not Eretz Yisrael Torah Shechina. That's not his cup of tea. He just doesn't do that well. So Yitzchak had this gevaldike chiddush. He said, "You know, I have two brachas coming to me min Hashemayim. I have gevaldike atzlach in gashmis, gevaldike atzlach in ruchnis. My father was tremendously batzlich in gashmis, and I was tremendously batzlich in gashmis." Just Lee Pashas told us. Yitzchak Avinu was unbelievably wealthy. Avinu was loaded. But Miknev covered, but Miknev kept his off. He had all the brachas of Gashmias and all the brachas of relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That was great because there was only one Avram and there was only one Yitzchak, but now there are two kids. So what do I do? So Yitzchak, I have to split the two. You can't have both. What, I'm going to give Yaakov Avinu that he's going to be the Kohenik, he's going to be wealthy? How's that going to work? I'll give Esav, I'll give him all the money. Yaakov won't have any money, but he'll sit and learn. He'll sit and have a Avodas Hashem. He'll sit and contemplate Eretz Yisrael. Birchas Avraham, Gevaldik, I'll split the two. And Rivka realized it's not going to happen that way. Yosef Lavoi, the Brach of Gashmi is critical because the Brach of Ruchnius can never reach fruition, can never reach its grand final goal without the Brach of Gashmis. The Brach of Gashmis was not supposed to be something that's relegated to the Esavs in this world. Of course the plan is that the Yaakov Avinu should be Matzliach. Hein B'Gashmis, Hein B'Ruchnias, and therefore Yaakov needs both Brachas. This is echoes of the famous words of the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Malachim, that La'asad Lavoi is going to be such a Shefa Brachas of Gashmis, Libos HaMashiach. Why? Why are all the brachas of Vita and Chalakim going to be fulfilled? Why? Kedesha Yishbidu, Yishamdu, Bibusa Aylam. So we should just be on top. We should be wealthy. We should be millionaires. That's why. That's what we've been dreaming of. Lonisav, Chama, and Vita, and Mosa Mashiach for that. Chalila, says the Rambam. Lonisav, and Mosa Mashiach, Ela Kedai Elias, Pinuim, Batayr, Vachachmosa, for Tayr, for Mitzvahs, for Kedusha, for Ashra Sashchina, for Kabbanis, for Eretz Yisrael. That's what we dreamed about. That's what we continue to dream about in Kecholim all these years. We don't dream just to become wealthy and successful. Hazah, that's what we suffered 2,000 years in Golos for. Shem Yerachim. Because we look forward to the time of Yipinuim Batayim V'Chachmosa. So what's the Gevaldike Brachas of Yimosa Mashiach? So the Rambam echoes what he says earlier in Ichas Tshuva, that all the brachas and gashmis in the Torah are for one reason alone, to enable you to grow in ruchnius. If you don't have ayam shemov, you don't have a nesat mita atzchem ito, it's going to be very, very hard. Says the Rambam, when you're fighting a war, it's going to be very hard to learn. When chalil the people are sick, it's going to be very, very hard to do mitzvahs properly. When you're poor, it's going to be very, very hard to be a bit Hashem properly. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you all the brachas of Elam Hazah. That was the whole goal of creation. Why did Rambam create these things for? Why did he create a Shesmei Maisa? Why did he create all these brachas and Adam Hazah for? For what? People should come eat food and enjoy themselves. All the brachas of Adam Hazah were there to be Matzliach, to set the stage, to enable you to be Matzliach in Ruchnias. But that understanding of the two brachas the Pashas told us, that understanding of the goal of Mitzvah Mashiach, that understanding of the Rambam and the Chuvah, that's Chav Einish, and it's Chamitzvah by Amalek, and all the brachas of Gashmir, so not a Schar, but it's simply a Chatimta to enable Ruchnias. There were two great dangers to Klal Yisrael. There are many great dangers, but there were two that symbolize all the different dangers that Klal Yisrael have endured throughout the years of Golos. One was Purim, and one was Chanukah. Purim was fundamentally an attack against the Gashmis of Klal Yisrael. B'hashmid l'ar l'yabed, it wasn't an attack on Torah, it wasn't an attack on religion, it was an attack on the goof of Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael survived, because the Gevaldike Nisim, the Gevaldike Ashura Sashchina that took place, where in the world of Hestapadim, all of a sudden Kadosh Baruch Hu turned the tables, and the Jewish people were saved physically, Gevaldik Yeshua. But that it needed another nace to complete it a few hundred years later. That was the nace of Chanukah. The nace of Chanukah was the exact antithesis. The nace of Chanukah had nothing to do with Gashmias. The Yavanim were not interested in killing any Jews. They were interested in Lashkicham Tarasach Avim Chubitzanecha. And since the din is we have to fight back, and the din is that you heard Vayavor, and it's Shas HaShemad, didn't it? So Mavela turned into dangerous to the bodies of Klal Yisrael. But that wasn't the original goal. The Greeks were not interested in Hashvag Lag in any shape or form. They would have been very, very happy if the Jews would have just become assimilated and become good Greeks. They would have been thrilled. So the attack was on the Ruchnius and the Torah and the spirituality of Klal Yisrael. Hanukkah and Purim go hand in hand. The same way that the original Yetzias Mitzrayim went hand in hand. There were two versions of Magid, to say it, the Gemara says. One version of Magid is Avad Mayinu, and the other is Mitchila of the Avad Ha'ar Abaseinu. We say both. We start with Avad Mayinu, because if we're not alive, it's going to be very, very hard for us to do mitzvahs. If we're not Matzliach, it's going to be hard for us to be Avad Hashem properly. If not for Purim, there will not be a Chanukah. So Purim comes first, unlike what they taught you in nursery school. Purim comes first, because you have to have L'maisa. You have to have Yidin L'chala Kibbet HaShemayim, you have to have Gashmius first in place. Christ will have to be here. And once Christ will be here physically, then we can endow them with the Gebal Genisim, bestow upon the Gebal Genisim of Chanukah, the Nisim of Ruchnius as well. As we come closer and closer these days, already into Chodesh Kislev, our eyes on the ball, our eyes on the mitzvah of Torah Or. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Siyat Hashemayim, Hatzlocha Rabba, Hein Binyan Gashmius, Hein Binyan Ruchnius. Keep in mind, this is the Yisrael that affects every decision that we make, everything we do in this stage in our lives, getting ready for Gashmius. Has to be filtered through the eyes of Ruchnius, as these can help us. We're using these Hatzlach and Gashmius that we hope and pray we're going to reach. It's going to be ultimately for the higher purpose of Hatzlach and Ruchnius. So hopefully, the Rebbe should give us the Tad Shmaya to excel in both of these brachas. Okay, a little bit for a moment.